You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Tuesday is Election Day. British Columbians go to the ballot box to elect a new government. Voters are also being asked to change the electoral process from a single-member plurality, the system we now have, to a single transferable vote, also known as STV. If you poll your neighbors and colleagues about STV, you may discover that few people really know what it is, what it means, or how it works. Mike Gobi is the creator of a website, understandingstv.ca, and we've contacted him this morning to talk about single transferable votes. He joins us by phone. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
How does our current system, the single member plurality, work?
Sure. Our current system, we have a number of candidates on the ballot, and essentially all the voters say who they prefer. And whichever candidate gets more votes, and just more than half, so 51% of the votes, means that particular candidate represents that region of BC. And then when we gather all together different regions of BC, whatever party got most candidates will form the government.
Now, if we were to move to the single transferable vote, how many MPs would I be voting on in that case?
So that would depend on where you lived. The way the single transferable vote works is current ridings get expanded. In the Lower Mainland, they get expanded quite a bit, so you might have three or four people getting elected in your riding because the riding gets larger, whereas in Northern British Columbia, you would probably only be electing two different candidates because Northern British Columbia, the ridings are already very large, so combining them would make them too large.
Okay, let's talk about the some of the mechanics of this. What effect does this have? What would it have, for instance, the effect have on the size of my riding? Would all those MLAs then be representing me?
So, of course, all the MLAs who are represented represent everybody in their riding. So the short answer to that question is yes. And one of the implications is because the riding is larger, if you actually wanted to go to your MLA and knock on their door, you might have to travel further to do so.
Now, what does the ballot look like when I go to the poll? Currently, you have a variety of candidates, usually each one for a different party or perhaps independent, and I get to mark a single X. What would the STV-style ballot look like?
Right. So an STV-style ballot will be larger. So in a current ballot, we might, for example, have listed eight different candidates from eight different parties. In an STV ballot, there might be, say, as many as 20 or 30 different candidates listed, grouped according to the eight different parties. So what you would see is a section labeled NDP and then a number of NDP candidates, and then a section labeled Green and a number of Green candidates, a section labeled Liberal, a number of Liberal candidates, a section labeled Marijuana Party, a number of Marijuana Party candidates, and so on.
And would each party then have a limit to the number of people that they could run, which would be equivalent to the number of candidates who would be elected in that riding?
There aren't any formal limits, so a party could run as many candidates as they wanted. In practice, people are expecting that candidates will run as many parties will run as many candidates as they expect to win. So, for example, in a strongly liberal riding, we would expect to see the Liberals fielding as many candidates as will be elected, whereas the Green Party might field one fewer so that they could focus their energies more on the candidates they do field.
So explain to me now the transferable part of the single transferable vote.
Sure. The idea behind the single transferable vote is that you still have one vote. There's still one person, one vote. But your vote can be sliced up like a piece of pie and different pieces given to different candidates. So, for example, if my number one choice is actually an independent candidate, I would put them as number one. And then I might list as my number two choice the Liberal candidate. And then during the election counting, if it turns out my first choice, the independent, doesn't get enough votes to win, then my entire ballot would go to my second choice, the Liberal candidate. If I had done it the other way, where my first choice was the Liberal candidate and my second choice was the Independent, and it turns out my first choice wins with more votes than they needed. So, for example, they got twice as many votes as they required to win. Then my ballot gets cut into half, and half of my ballot goes to my first choice because that's what they needed to win, and then half of my ballot goes to my second choice. And hopefully that will help them to win, and if it doesn't, then my ballot would go on to my third choice or the fourth choice and so on.
So the winning candidates then take only as much of your vote as they need?
Yes. Yeah, so that's the idea. So if your choice is very popular, then they won't take much of your vote because they don't need much of your vote. Whereas if your first choice barely wins, they may actually take your entire vote to win, and there would be very little left over your vote to go to your second choice.
Interesting. In places where this has been adopted, do people pretty quickly kind of catch on to how this works and how to, you know, strategically vote on an STV ballot?
That's an interesting question. And I would say some people do and some people don't. For example, under the single transferable vote system, if you go in, you can still just mark 1X. You don't have to rank candidates. You can just say, I just want this one person. And it's my understanding that where BCSTV is used, a lot of voters do just that. They just continue to vote in the old way, whereas a number of the other voters actually do make their more complex decisions and say, this is my first choice, this is my second choice. So I would say some voters make full use of the system, and other voters just carry on voting the old way.
It was a pretty popular. I think the STV on the referendum was fairly popular last time, as I remember in the provincial election, but not so popular with the parties. Do you have a sense of why it seemed to be so popular in BC?
I would say among the general public, it was probably popular, largely because people are frustrated by the current system, in which you can have situations where in the 2001 election, the Liberals received 58% of the popular vote, but ended up getting 97% of the seats in government. So our current system doesn't have very high proportionality, and I think people were very frustrated with that.
What are some of the consequences that flow from adopting an STV system if the vote were to go that way?
There are some consequences that we know will happen, and there's other consequences that we don't know about. So certainly one consequence is the system will be more proportional. If a party gets 60% of the popular vote, they will get closer to 60% of the seats. So that's one advantage of the system. One certain consequence is the regional districts get larger, and that's a disadvantage. So, for example, the Lower Mainland, we would be combining 4 or 5 or 6 current districts into one larger district, and in Northern British Columbia, we would be combining 2 or 3 into one larger district. And the disadvantage of that is simply that the larger the district is, the harder it is for an individual voter to go and speak to their representative, and the harder it is for the representative to actually know what the needs of their specific voters are because they're further away from them. Then we move into the things that might happen, and there it gets more complicated. So the yes campaign, people who are favoring the BC single transferable vote, they're suggesting that we will have more minority representation, more women involvement in politics. It's possible, and it's not certain. The people who are on the no side, they're concerned that there will be less representation in the rural areas because the northern districts will be getting so large. And then the one contradictory thing is that the yes campaign says there will be less party politics and the no campaign says there will be more party politics. So we really don't know how that will change.
In terms of the governments are elected, do you think that we'll see more or fewer majority governments elected through this system? Is that also something that we might predict as a result of this?
Again, that personally, I do make that prediction, but there's enough different evidence going around that we don't really know. I personally expect that, but that's not something that we can say for certain.
How do you think people should go forward trying to make their choice on this when they go into the ballot box on Tuesday? How should they prepare themselves to make that choice?
Right. I'd say the first thing they should do, I'd say, is there's three websites to visit. The first website is the campaign of the Yes website campaign, which is stv.ca. Go see what the Yes campaign is saying. Then there is also the No campaign, which is nowstv.ca, which tells you why you shouldn't vote for it. And then, of course, my website, understandingstv.ca, which doesn't say yes or no. I would say the biggest thing people should do is spend the time to understand the system. A lot of people are saying you should vote no because you don't understand it, and I believe that with 15 minutes of sitting down and looking at the websites, people can understand it. So I'd say the number one thing is commit the time, 15 minutes of your day, to sit down and read over how the system works and then make an informed choice.
Well, thanks for joining us and helping us get started on figuring that out, Michael.
All right, thank you.
I've been speaking with Michael Gobi. He's the creator of the website, as he said, understandingstv.ca, and it can be found on the internet at that URL.